The question that I wanted to ask you was, once you got started with making guitars, obviously, I can tell by looking at your guitars that you've obviously mastered the craft. Can you tell us a bit about the actual techniques of making guitar and what you're up against when you try to start making a guitar from scratch?
Okay, you're up against a lot, really, aren't you? I think the thing that you're up against more than anything is you have no idea what it'll sound like until it's actually strung. And that can be an immensely frustrating process. What you've got to do is you've got to work on a series of principles, and they're fairly straightforward. The first thing is that you must use the best woods that you possibly can. That must be well seasoned, well sourced. So, for example, if you can get Brazilian rosewood, which you can, but I think these days it's mostly illegal, but let's say that instead you go for Indian plantation rosewood, which is sustainable and good quality. And if you go for really good spruce for the top or really high quality cedar, then you begin to stand a fighting chance of getting somewhere. I mean, other things that you've got to do, you must use the right adhesives. It's just no good sticking woodwork W everywhere because all that'll happen there is that you'll deaden the sound. The instrument just won't move in the way that it should. So the preferred method these days is to use aliphatic glue, and I import mine from the States. This aliphatic glue is a form of PVA, but it has the characteristics of animal glue, but it's got the strength of other epoxy resins, for example.
Yeah, so this is a more flexible material once
it's quite brittle. And as a result, it doesn't deaden the sound. It keeps it sharp.
Ah, I got it the wrong way around.
Yeah, that's
it. You don't want it to be flexible.
That's right. You don't actually want your glues to be flexible. But on the other hand, if they're too brittle, which happens with animal glue sometimes, then joints tend to come apart. So this aliphatic glue is sort of somewhere between, but it verges on the brittle end, so to speak.
And when we look at a guitar, we can see how thin the wood is and how small the joint is between the different parts. And I was thinking about this... when I was thinking about the programme, the glue really is going to be the thing that makes all the difference.
It's absolutely critical. It holds the whole damn thing together. There's not a screw in it anywhere, of course, except for holding the machine heads in. And you're right about thickness. A standard top on a good quality classical will only be 2 millimetres thick. And that is actually quite thin, made of very delicate spruce, which is extremely soft. And the back and sides, I mean, some makers famously... Daniel Friedrich used to make his sides 4 millimetres thick and made a very heavy guitar, but they're normally only 2 millimetres as well, and the back is normally only 2 millimetres. And so how you prevent that very, very, very thinly made soundbox from collapsing is that you have to have a series of quite complicated struts inside called bracing struts. And these have to be placed very precisely in order to produce the right sound. And if you ever see a classical guitar with a back off, then more often than not, you'll see different size struts on one side of the top than from the other. And that's so that you get a better resonance from the bass strings with longer notes, and you get short, sharp resonance from the treble strings, but with sustain. And one of the essential challenges on all of this is to get sharpness on the one hand and yet sustain on the other. And it really is a tricky balance.
Yes, and of course, the struts inside, I hadn't thought of this, well, I had thought of it, that they have to serve two purposes. So they have to actually be supportive and add to the sound. And if people would like to see these struts, there was a close-up, which unfortunately I couldn't include. If you go to the Classical Journey website, Google Classical Journey Phonic, you can see a picture of Sean making a guitar, and you can see inside, and you can see some of these struts and how they hold the guitar together. Now, have we remembered which piece we were going to have next?
Yes, I think probably the Tango number 3 by José Ferrer, which is the fifth track on disc 2.
Oh, that's
two.
Right.
That's an interesting piece.
I know what I'm doing now. Okay. So let's listen to the Tango by Ferrer.